This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. Listen to what this Bible says. It says, "And the same day when the even was come," or evening came, "he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great calm of wind, a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship." Now, look, Jesus teaches you something about leadership right there. Not out front saying I'm in charge, but in the hinder part of the ship. See, Jesus understands that we have to humble ourselves. He was in the hinder part of the ship. "And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not, we perish. And he arose and rebuked." In the Greek, that literally means he muzzled the wind. He muzzled the wind. "And said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm." Folks, if you've seen a storm before on the ocean, and you know there's a storm, and finally the storm passes, but the waves just beat for hours. But not when Jesus calms the storm. There's something about Jesus, amen? There's just something, not when Jesus calms the storm. "And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And these disciples said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I just stopped to tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. Amen. "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea, they obey him?" Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And for all you do, believing for a fruitful invitation, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about when the storm doesn't make sense. When the storm doesn't make sense. A husband and wife were home one night and they were sound asleep and the phone rang. And the husband answered the phone and he said these words. He said, "How in the heck would I know? I'm not a weatherman." And he slammed the phone down. And his wife said, "Honey, who was that that called?" He said, "I don't know. They just wanted to know, was the coast clear?" I don't know that he fully understood storms. Amen? And folks, I'm convinced that many times we don't fully understand storms and perhaps why storms happen in our lives. Now, this is a Methodist church. Most of you would say, "Pastor, I didn't even know that." It's actually a Methodist church, but it's not like any other type of Methodist church, amen? It's really not. And somebody said, "Pastor, well, it's a Methodist church. Do you take great pride in being a Methodist?" No. Too many of them are in jail, amen? No. But the Methodist church started with a man by the name of John Wesley. John Wesley was from England, and he was an Anglican priest. Literally, John Wesley weighed 128 pounds. He was 5'8" tall. This giant of the faith was just a real small man. John Wesley was actually, folks, only in America one time. Only one time. And he came to the great state of Georgia. He actually came to Savannah, Georgia. This Anglican priest, he came to Savannah, Georgia because he was going to reach the people for Christ. He came over on a ship, and that ship got into a tremendous storm. I mean, it was a storm of all storms. I mean, the wind was blowing, the waves were beating. It was a storm of all storm. And John Wesley said, I was scared. He said, I was terrified. I was afraid I was gonna die. He said, I was wondering what would happen if I did die. He said, I was literally terrified. But he said, on the same ship that I was on, there was 26 Moravian missionaries from Germany. And he said, I looked at those Moravian missionaries while the storm was going on. And he said, they had a deep, settled peace. And he said, I said to myself, they've got something that I don't have. They have a relationship with God that I don't have. And John Wesley came to Georgia, he wasn't successful. But he goes back to England and he gives his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He gives his heart and life. Several months back while I was in England, I said, I want to go to the spot where Wesley gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I went and I knelt down at that spot, because what John Wesley realized is God used a storm in his life to bring him to Jesus. See, folks, there may not be a Methodist church had there not been a storm in John Wesley's life that brought him to Jesus. Here's what I want you to know. God uses storms in our lives because God wants those storms to bring us to Jesus. Later, John Wesley said these words. He said, without storms, we cannot grow. Without storms, we cannot grow. Psalms 4:1 says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. When I was in distress, God, you expanded me. When I was in distress, you grew me. When I was going through a hard time, my life grew. When I was going through a hard time, my faith grew. When I was going through a hard time, because of it, I am a different person. Now I want to say 4 or 5 things about storms. The first thing I want you to see, folks, I want you to see the probability of storms. The probability of storms. Verse 37 says this, and there arose a great storm of wind. Now, the major water supply in Israel is the Sea of Galilee. The north part of Israel is where the Sea of Galilee is. The south part of Israel, this country that's about the size of New Jersey, is basically desert. But the north part of Israel, the Sea of Galilee's there. It's 7 miles wide. It's 13 miles long. It's 160 feet deep at the deepest point. Now the fish, they're not in the deep water. They're in the shallow water. So that's why when Jesus said to the disciples, launch out into the deep, it didn't make sense. Because they were fishermen, And they knew the fish are in the shallow water. Now, when you go to the Sea of Galilee, no matter where you stand, you see mountains because it's surrounded by mountains. About 6 weeks ago, I was on the Sea of Galilee with over 200 people. We go out to the Sea of Galilee and we have a worship service. We sing out on the Sea of Galilee. I preach the gospel. Our group was so large, we couldn't get everybody on one boat. We had to literally tie boats together on that sea. But the God said to me on the day before, he said, "Preacher, we've got to go to the Sea of Galilee first thing." And he said, "Let me explain why we've got to go early in the morning." He said, "Because from 12 to 6 every day, there's a high probability of a storm. From 12 to 6, lunch to 6 in the evening, there's a high probability of a storm coming because it's surrounded by mountains and storms can come up quick." Let me say something about life. You're either in a storm, you just got out of a storm, or you're going to be heading into a storm. There's a high probability of storms in our lives. Look what Matthew chapter 7 says. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. He built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew." Not, friend, if it happens. It will happen. The rain's going to descend. The floods are going to come. The winds are going to blow and beat upon your house. But I've got good news for you. It's not going to fall if it's founded upon the rock, if it's founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Stanley said, "If you live long enough, everything in your life will either leave you or fail you." I agree with Dr. Stanley, who's in heaven, because God will allow everything to leave you or fail you because he wants to be the source in your life. He wants to be the source. God will bring you to a point of desperation that he might bring you to a point of dependence, that he might bring you to a point of deliverance because he wants to be the source, ladies and gentlemen, in your life. Now, I see the probability of storms, but I see something else. I see the paradox of storms. Now, Pastor, what kind of storms and why do we have storms? Well, first of all, folks, we have storms because of disobedience. You remember Jonah on the Mediterranean Sea? He got in a storm because God told him to go one way and he went the other way. All I'm trying to say to you, when you disobey God, you're going to get in a storm. There's a second storm. It's the storm of discipline. Sometimes you're in a storm because, I know this is not popular preaching, but God is disciplined in you. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 8 says, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye a bastard, not a son." You say, "Preacher, can Christians sin?" But not and enjoy it. Not and get by with it. Because let me tell you something. If you know Jesus and you sin, he's going to discipline you. Somebody said, "Oh, I bring them before this committee." You don't need a committee. The Holy Spirit of heaven will deal with your heart. The Holy Spirit of heaven will discipline you. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know if something's right. I need to talk to the pastor." No. You just open the Word of God, and God's Word will show you what's right and what's wrong. See, there's storms of disobedience. There's storms of discipline. Look, there's storms of demonic origination. 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour." Let me tell you something. You say, "Pastor, I'm bumping into the devil." Well, thank God you're not going the same direction. demonic origination. Families, listen to me closely. God wants to do something in your life. But I also want you to know, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy your children. The devil wants to destroy your influence. But there's a fourth storm. And it's the storm of design. You say, what do you mean, preacher, design? Well, look what verse 35 says. And the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let's pass over onto the other side. Now, Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side, but they got in a storm. I want to ask you something. Was they in the center of God's will? They was in the center of God's will, but a storm came. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you can be in a storm, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing everything right. Sometimes you can be in a storm that you may not understand why it's happening, but God is working in your life. It's a storm of design. Now, I see the probability of storms. I see the paradox of storms. But I want you to see the principle from the storm. There's two principles I want you to get, and I want you to learn from the storm. One of them is in verse 37. Look what it says. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now go to verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship on a pillar, and they awake him and said, Master, care us not that we perish. Here's a principle I want you to learn. It's such an important principle. Don't wait till your boat's full of water to pray. Don't wait till your boat's full of water to pray. Don't always be praying desperation prayers. Have a relationship with God that you're always talking to God. Don't wait till it's a desperate situation to call on God. Call on God every day of your life. Depend on Him every day of your life. Don't wait till your world's in turmoil to call on Him. There's a second thing I want you to notice. Here Jesus was. He's asleep. The only record in the Word of God of Jesus sleeping. He's on a pillow. Now wait. The storm is raging. The lightning is flashing. The thunder is roaring. The waves are beating. The waves are roaring and Jesus is snoring. I mean, listen, all this is going on. And ladies and gentlemen, he just sleeps through it all. I mean, it's a storm, but literally he just sleeps through it all. Nothing seems to awake the master until one of his children says, Master, Master, and he arose. Let me tell you something, folks. When we call on Jesus, oh, you didn't hear me. When we call on Jesus, listen, when we call on Jesus, oh, it gets his attention. Call unto me and I will answer thee. He said in Jeremiah, there's a principle, and the principle is prayer will get the attention of Jesus. Psalms 116 verse 2 says, he inclines unto us. That means he leans in. Oh, when you're going through a hard time and you call on the Lord, he just leans in, ladies and gentlemen. He just leans in. He just wants to help you. Here's what I see. I see the probability of storms. I see the paradox of storms. I see the principle from the storm. But I want you to see the peace in the storm. Look here. The Bible says he slept. Now get this, folks. Verse 35 says this. And the same day when evening was come, he said, let us pass over on the other side. Let us pass over on the other side. See, we got to understand something. God never promised us a safe flight. He never promised us a smooth flight, excuse me. What he did promise you is a safe landing. And God said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make it to the other side. He said to those disciples, hey guys, let's go to the other side. And you say, Pastor, did they make it to the other side? And they came over unto the other side. They made it to the other side because Jesus said they were going to make it to the other side. You said, Pastor, I'm in a storm. What do you recommend for me? I recommend the words of Jesus. I recommend the word of God. I recommend if God said an elephant's going to lay an egg, you can get your skillet. Amen. Jesus said we're going to make it to the other side. And if Jesus said we're going to make it to the other side, it don't matter what hell throws at us, we're going to make it to the other side. The great apostle Paul was at Caesarea that we were at when Caesarea by the sea when we were in Israel. And he was at Caesarea by the sea and he got on a ship going to Rome. Now let me just say this, folks. Paul always wanted to go to Rome and preach the gospel. But he didn't go the way he wanted to go. He didn't go as a preacher, he went as a prisoner. We might want to be careful about what we think we want because we may get it, but it may not come in the way we think it's supposed to come. He got on a ship and he got into a storm with 276 men who were scared to death. But Paul said to those men, men, be of good cheer. We're going to make it. We're going to make it because God has told me I'm going to make it to Rome. God has told me that we're going to be safe. All I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, take your confidence in the Word of God. When you're going through a storm, lean into the Word of God. Lean into the promises of God. Sometimes when I'm going through a hard time in my life, I just take my Bible and I just hold it up close and I go to sleep with it. You say, you're a nut. I'm screwed on the right boat. I just hold it up close because I know the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. The word of God shall stand forever. Now let me, I'm almost done. Let me give you the promises of the storm. Look what he said in verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What was he saying? He was saying, don't let your problems override my promises. Don't live in light of the problem, but live in light of the promise. Two things. It's so encouraging. No matter what you're going through, God's word announces the Savior is on board. I don't know what you're going through, but I've got good news. God's word announces the Savior's in your ship. I don't know what you're going through. But Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know what you're going through, but God's word announces that the Savior is on board. And I just want to remind you, safety is not the absence of storms. Safety is the presence of the Savior. And I'd rather be in a storm with Jesus than to be in a calm without him. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said these words. He said, I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me into the rock of ages. I've learned to kiss the waves that throw me into the rock of ages. No matter what you're going through, God's word announces the Savior's on board. And if God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God's word, it announces the Savior's on board. But there's something else. God's word alerts us to his plan. Look what verse 40 says. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? There was a guy named Peter who was on this ship, and he saw how Jesus handled it. And it had a profound impact on Peter's life. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, look what Acts chapter 12 says. Peter was in prison, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. What'd Peter do? Here's what Peter did. Peter said, let me tell you something. My master told me how to handle a storm. And my master told me how I could have peace. And my master told me, I don't know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And my master taught me that no matter what goes on in my life, God will see me through. God will see me through. God will see me through. Corey Ten Boom said, you'll never know that God is all you need until he's all you have. Oh, glory be to God. You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you have. Years ago, I did something that nobody in my family had ever done. I didn't know that I'd ever do it. I graduated college. Just a kid. That's my mother, Melba Jean. Her hair was flaming red there. Her color's changed and mine has too. I graduated college and they was giving out the degrees, the diplomas. And they got to mine. And they said, Vincent Benny Tate. And Barbara stood up in the crowd and threw out her arms and said, that's my baby. You said, Pastor Benny, do you remember anything else about that graduation? Only one song that was sang. Only one song that was sang by a man who wrote the song who was born and he stuttered. He had dyslexia. And he lost his mom and his dad and his brother. And the song that he wrote, they sang at my graduation. I wish you could have been with me at 5 o'clock this morning, because I was having a time. I was singing this song in the gym early this morning. I said, I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for every storm He's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His words. See, I thank Him for the mountain, and I thank Him for the valley, and I thank Him for every storm He's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, oh, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God can do. See, it's through it all. It's through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. And let me tell you today, through it all, you can depend upon Him. 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 Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Through it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned. Can we stand to our feet and praise Jesus? Can we give Him praise? Through it all. See, folks, if I could leave you with a scripture, I'd leave you with Psalm 56, verse 9. This I know, God is for me. And you've lived your life thinking God's against you. And God's not against you. God is for you. And God will see you through every hardship. God will see you through every trial. God will bring you through every valley. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I thank Him for the mountains. I thank Him for the valley. But don't we thank Him for every storm He's brought us through? Because if we never had a problem, we wouldn't know that God could solve them. We wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.